So, you may say to yourself, well, this is all very interesting. This guy has some kind of anthropologically revisionist theory, and, you know, that's all well and good. In other words, so what? What does it have to do with us? Well, what it has to do with us is we are in a state of enormous dysfunctional anxiety as a result of the fall into history, which has caused us to have to compromise our sensuality, our connection to the Gaian goddess, our polymorphic sexuality. All of these things have been poured into a new set of social institutions that derive essentially from the invention of agriculture, which is where I think the shit hit the fan. I mean, I'm fairly radical on that. I think that agriculture is the end because it's incredibly successful as a strategy for food production. Well, what does that mean? It means you can't be nomads anymore. Oh no, you have to build a stone tower to put the grain in. And you have to make sure you can haul large rocks up on top of your tower to drop on people whose grain crop wasn't as big as yours was. We see this at Jericho. The most advanced building in the world of 10,000 BC was the grain tower at Jericho. And it was defensive. And it bespeaks, you know, the primal paranoia. Once people stopped moving across the land, once they violated it with the blade of the plow, then you get sedentary populations. The division between the profane world of the city and the wilderness outside. That's the moment when the division between the unconscious and the conscious mind comes into play. And an entire set of institutions arise then. Male kingship, standing armies, role specialization, slavery, women as chattel, so forth and so on. I mean, we are the unhappy inheritors of this hideous plunge into dysfunctionality. Now, why is it such a hideous plunge into dysfunctionality to live without psilocybin or close relatives thereof? The answer is that this thing, which to now I've described as male dominance and a tendency to form dominance hierarchies, we can describe another way and bring much closer to home by saying it is the ego. The ego is a late arriving, very tenuous, highly uncertain of itself, social structure that has taken root in the human psyche like a tumor, like a growth of some sort. It is the leftover of this primate dominance complex, and the way it manifests itself is by the establishment of boundaries. First of all, this is my body, do not touch it. Second of all, these are my weapons and agricultural tools, do not touch them. This is my woman, these are my children, I hunt there, so forth and so on. It's this division of the world that allows the illusion of the ego to come into existence. Now, what do psychedelics do, and why are they such social dynamite? The answer is, it's not a health issue. It's not an addiction issue. It's not, I mean, that's preposterous. It's about boundary dissolution. Every society, from the classic Maya to Fujiwara, Japan, to the France of the Bourbons, every society establishes a set of boundaries, which it then calls reality, and woe betide you if you go across the boundary, because then you are outcast, outclass, outlandish, and the full fury of the community can be turned against you, and we all know what that can mean as pagans. So, I believe that the ego is a dysfunctional psychic invader, and that it will continue to strengthen and perpetuate itself as long as we do not institute, either as groups or within our relationships or as individuals, a regular ritual encounter with the forces which dissolve these boundaries. And the only force I know that works are these plants. And as I say, I'm not interested in arguing whether there are other methods or not. God, I would hope so. But anything I ever looked into, and I shopped the spiritual supermarket from stem to stern, was horseshit as far as I could see. Now, I am not a sensitive. Let me say that. People say, well, but what about Ramana Maharshi and what about Jacob Burma? And hey, it's great for those folks. I applaud arhats and avatars and so forth and so on. But what I'm interested in is democratic ecstasis. It should be for the most lumpen among us. It is not to be attained by an act of dietary control, sexual abstinence, or, whatever. It is a human birthright. It is a human birthright to touch the incorporeal body of the goddess. It isn't something... So, let's see, where can we go from here? I say all this, if you're interested, I say it better than I'm saying it here, in my book, Food of the Gods, which was not written for you people. It's an argument for people who do not know a great deal about drugs, may never have taken drugs, but through some miracle have managed to maintain an open mind. And I don't know how much you know about my shtick, and I can't get into it now, but for me, these things are more than tools for exploring the Freudian or Jungian unconscious. I mean, I journey to inhabited worlds that are, there are echoes in Elfland and Fae, but, you know, as a rationalist, as a aspiring astronautical engineer at age 13, it's astonishing to me that I could validate the mystery through doubt. Through doubt. The truth does not require your belief. The truth is real. You can beat it on the ground. You can rip it apart. You can look inside it. Nobody needs to guard the truth from inspection. Nobody needs to tell you that, you know, you can't look behind the stage. And so my motivation is to try to, number one, bring people to the realization that the spiritual path, if you want to think of it that way, that is a real thing. And it will carry you to the real thing. All spiritual disciplines that I know, except for psychedelics, put a great deal of emphasis on putting the pedal to the metal. Push, 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 you know, meditate, make offerings, do mantrayana, do pranayama, do puja, push, push, push. With psychedelics, suddenly there's a very deep interest in, and where are the brakes? You see? You're no longer pushing. Once you get to the psychedelics, seeking is an attitude which ill becomes you. You have found it. You have found it. Now, what in the hell are you going to do with it? And this is a great dilemma for anyone who goes into this. I mean, I am As I see myself, I'm a preacher in the marketplace. But I know, and I'm sure most of you know, that I could walk out of here, you could walk out of here, and you could go as far as your courage would carry you. There is no barrier. There are no more barriers. You can go as far as your fucking courage will carry you. And at that point, you have to ask the question, you know, do I want to be the mad monk of Cold Mountain? Do I want the villagers to down in the valley to say, oh yes, we see him occasionally up in the mist, naked, flying with the eagles? Because you can be that person. You know, you don't have to go back to your job as ad exec, stockbroker, or whatever it is. And so we stand on the edge of being able to leave history. We can leave it. You know, we tend to forget, because our lives are so brief, that what we call the psychedelic experience is very, very new on the plate of Western occultism and science. I mean, hashish did not make great inroads into medieval Europe. That all came later in the 18th and 19th century. Chloroform, ether, these things don't cut it. Mescaline was synthesized for the first time in 1888. These things had to compete with many other interesting areas of scientific exploration in the 20th century. We have not come to terms with what they mean and what they are. And it's a curious area, because the counterculture, whatever that may mean, knows a great deal more about this than science. I mean, science does not explore this area because it senses enormous danger for its ontological machinery. It probably couldn't survive the encounter, and therefore it's just said, well, it's psychology, it's marginal, it's fleeting, it's non-irreproducible, and so forth and so on. This is all nonsense. You can, by unplugging the telephone, by fasting for 6 hours, and by taking 5 dried grams of Strophera cubensis in silent darkness, you can go up to the great simulacra of human explorers, Hypatia, Maria, Newton, Da Vinci. You can take that ride. I have the feeling that when we go into those psychedelic spaces, we not only see things no one has ever seen before, we see things no one will ever, ever see again.